This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. And I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Mary Kitzmiller from Kemp, Texas. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 20th, episode 1476. This episode is brought to you by listeners like you, our auditors. Thanks. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Wednesday. Today is Wednesday.
He's a very mixed up horse.
Authorization acknowledged.
You know what they say about Wednesday.
Yabba-dabba-do!
Have a good Wednesday. Thanks.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday morning. Like there's any question about that after that opener. It's pretty clear. So we appreciate you being here. Jamie is off today. We have Mary Kitzmiller filling in today. Hi, Mary.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Thank you for joining us today and filling in for Jamie. She's taken a few days off and having some fun in the northern part of the country where it's much cooler than Phoenix. So we're happy that she gets out of the 120-degree heat into the 80-degree heat.
I am jealous once again. I think the last time I saw Jamie, she was in Hawaii.
Yes, that's true. She's traveling. She's not in Hawaii this time. But the advantage she has now is her husband's an airline pilot, so they get free flying, which that would be a cool gig.
Yes. Do they have an airline pilot dating website?
They might.
That would be totally worth
it. Pilotsonly.com.
Yes.
Jennifer, could you look into that and make, for Mary's benefit?
I will check into that. Yes.
Yeah, she needs one of those. Well, Mary, you've had an interesting couple of days here. The full moon was out. Your horse got hurt. You got hurt. Jeez, girl.
I know. I must have done something bad because karma is out to get me, and it is. It is bitter medicine, let me tell you. But I was coming back from Missouri, and we were laid over at someone's house in Oklahoma. And I was just cleaning out the back of the trailer, and I just took a bad step, heard a snap, and I knew I had I sprained my ankle. I knew it wasn't broken because the last time I broke an ankle, I blacked out. So that didn't happen. So I knew I had probably just sprained it really bad, but I had the good sense to do it. There was an orthopedic nurse who lived there, so it kind of worked out great. I got a diagnosis and
without x-rays, we'll throw in.
Yeah, she just like started feeling my ankle and she rattled off a bunch of words about tendon and stuff that I didn't understand because it wasn't horse body parts. So I don't know how my leg works, but I can tell you about my horse's leg. So yeah, I had to take a couple days off of that. I'm, you know, still swollen, but I'm okay. And then Guthrie, my big, sweet, lovable gelding, has decided he's going to be the Wild West Stallion of the Cimarron. And he acted like he's been acting very steady. It's the weirdest thing. There's not any mares in season that I know of. And I turned a new gelding out that I have in for training out in the pasture. And I wasn't even worried.
He's not a stallion, right?
No. Now, he's got a set of jowls on him that made me think, I wonder if he was gelded late. But he's never, ever acted like a stud at all. And actually, I was not worried about Guthrie when I put this new gelding out there. I was more concerned with how my off-the-track thoroughbred was going to do. Because he gets into some stuff. Usually he's the one getting chased because he's acting like a jerk.
Because they pick.
Yeah. So I was worried about those two. And I saw, you know, everyone ran each other around, but Guthrie was like out for murder. I couldn't believe it. I saw his teeth bared. He looked like a Mustang out in the West. And so I watched and I was really, you know, careful, you know, I was ready to kind of break it up if it was too much. And then everyone got along and they were great all day. And then I came to get Guthrie that night, and he's skinned his legs all the heck. He lacerated.
I mean, you showed the picture. It was bad.
I know. I had to take the picture off because I did realize if you're scrolling and that just pops up in your newsfeed. Yeah. Well, I hit it.
I got to be honest. I hit it.
Yeah. Oh, I hit it too because I was like, okay, I got all the advice I need because, so of course this happens at night. And well, it happened in the evening. It looked bad. The laceration on his heel bulb was bleeding like it'd be a pool of blood on the ground every time he stood still. And so, gave him some stuff and packed it and wrapped it. And I thought, okay, I think you're good till morning. I don't think that this needs any kind of stitches. Well, I came to check on him a few hours later and there was blood everywhere. It looked like something had been butchered.
Ooh.
So my emergency vet happened to be sick. She texted me and said, I can't make it out. I'm like, oh my God. And so I normally don't panic, but this, I've never had a wound that just wouldn't stop bleeding. And so I took to Facebook. Luckily, you know, you have to do that with some, you know, you take it with a grain of salt because you're going to get some off the wall advice, but I have some really good experienced horse people and they're like, oh heck, they can lose 9 gallons of blood and stay standing. I'm like, okay, well he's only
great, but I don't want 9 gallons of blood all over my aisleway.
He's only put out about a couple coffee cups worth, so I think we're okay. But I did learn about, just for future reference, the heel, that part of the foot, there's a lot of veins in there. I was told if it's just a steady flow, it's not pulsating or
we've seen that.
Yeah,
and welcome everybody who's having breakfast right now.
Sorry. I didn't mean to go into this that graphically, but you know, what I did to stop it in case anybody runs into this, it's middle of the night or it's Easter Sunday and it's not usually a huge emergency. Obviously, if you can get a vet out, I definitely would. But what I did that stopped the bleeding was I just kept wrapping it with pressure, downward pressure, over and over and over again. I went through about 3 rolls of vet wrap. Every time I came out and he was continuing to bleed, I just wrapped it again and then again and then again and then again. And finally, it stopped around midnight. So he's okay.
Takes a while to clot, right, at certain places?
Guthrie.
Yeah. Well, and I made a monumental mistake, and I know better. I gave him Banamine, I would not... Yeah, so it really doesn't help.
Yeah, Jennifer's theory on that was let him hurt, and then he won't be stupid.
Yeah, Banamine for colic and you know, digestive upset, that kind of thing. I knew better. I let myself get a little panicked. Yeah, and of course, when I went out there, he's putting all of his weight on that leg, and the other one is cocked, and I'm like, get off of it. And he's like, no, it doesn't feel, it doesn't hurt at all. I'm like, I'm sorry, that was my fault.
Now, were you hurt by that point?
I was still kind of hobbling around.
So
a little
you're
bit.
Hobbling out to help your horse who's bleeding like crazy.
Yes.
That must have been some picture there, Mary.
Oh, yes. I was just the epitome of poise. And
I'm not laughing at you.
I could never win in triage.
You're allowed to play it.
No, I feel too bad to play it.
Now I want to know. Now you got
to. You need to hit the button.
You think? I feel bad. She had a rough couple of days.
It's not me, is it?
All right,
it's
I'll
not
play
a soundbite of me.
I don't want to be that girl.
You kind of were.
Oh, I'm that girl like 24/7. I don't
own
know
it,
what all
Mary,
that.
Yeah,
I don't know what all that implies, but I even had a that girl haircut for a while. Remember that show?
Yes.
I was a Nick at Night junkie.
All right, let's go on. I'm glad your horse has survived and you're survived, although you probably should have had an x-ray. But I'm just saying, that was just me. I know horse girls, they don't go to the doctor. I have one of those. So, Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show? You got to get our first guest on already.
On today's Wacky Wednesday edition, Canadian eventer Jessica Phoenix. Woohoo! Is going to stop by and share the excitement of going to the Rio Olympics on the Canadian eventing team. And then Haggard Medical Institute has the horse health report. We're going to talk about embryo transfer. Continuing on our relentless pursuit of geeky horsey riding equipment, the inventor of I Rock and Ride is going to stop by. And then the European Report with Horse and Country TV's Velvet Voice Victoria Spicer is going to round out the show. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
We got a lot to do here today, Mary. It's busy. All right, let's get started with our Daily Whinnies. Well, I have a listener daily, Winnie. This is from our listener, Mona. She's an auditor. And this goes out to her friend, Tammy. And this is what she wrote. This past 2 weeks has been hard. My best friend's sister is a single mom and beat two types of cancer already. She's a single mom of four girls under age 10. 2 weeks ago, she was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. Through insurance difficulties and technicalities, they only approved a single mastectomy and refused a double, which would have been her best shot at beating this. They wouldn't do it for 6 weeks. It's a very aggressive tumor, and by then it might have been too late. So we started a GoFundMe to pay for it. 2 days ago, an anonymous donor paid for the entire surgery. She's having it today. I just wanted to thank the universe. Maybe a listener of HRN was a donor. I don't know. But because of this generous person, four little girls had their best shot of keeping their mom. And she had her surgery. It went perfect. The cancer had not spread. So it's the best possible result. And thanks to a good Samaritan. So our Daily Winnie is going out to Tammy, but it's also going out to the good Samaritan. And I thought, you know, we normally don't do kind of negative stories as Daily Whinnies, but in the light of what's going on in the world right now, this turned into a very positive story thanks to one person, which just goes to show there's still good people in the world. So
that is enough great news right there to completely offset my tiny, minuscule bit of bad news. That puts me in a good mood for the rest of the week.
There you go. And now it's your turn.
Okay. So I have a Daily Whinny for our auditor, Rosie. I just heard about this. I don't know all the details, but I heard she is in the hospital since Sunday with food poisoning. So I feel for her. I hope she's getting better and wish her all the best.
I talked to her last night about 9 o'clock, and she is getting better. She probably will be out today. And her moral of the story and warning to everybody was don't eat the chicken fingers at a movie theater.
Ooh, yeah.
Those
were probably last month's chicken fingers.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't even know they had chicken fingers
at a
movie theater.
How often do they replace the chicken fingers at a movie theater?
Chicken fingers is not something I would buy at a movie theater. I'm going to be honest. Popcorn seems safe. Chicken fingers at the movie theater, not so safe.
I have a similar from a few weeks ago. I was not this bad, but I would say don't eat at the burrito place at an airport. Not the Memphis airport.
Oh, and I just heard from Rosie that she's feeling worse today. Rosie,
oh, no.
I hope you're feeling better. We're giving you all a great big hug. And we've all had food poisoning, but not in the hospital for 4 days. My God, girl.
No, I hope she gets better.
She's enjoying the show. I guess she enjoys hearing about your blood and guts, so she doesn't have to think about hers. See?
Oh, if I had food poisoning and I had to listen to myself go on and on. So my apologies for that. That would not make me feel. That's probably why she's feeling
worse. And, you know, we can all relate to people who get food poisoning because we've all had it. For me, I can't, you know, there's a certain restaurant chain that I just can't go to. Okay, Bob Evans. I just can't go there. I had their sausage soup one day and that was it. That was 25 years ago and I was sick for a week and I still have not forgiven Bob Evans.
I have the exact same thing. I won't name the restaurant,
oh,
but
you
let's
can.
Just
what the
say,
heck?
Well, let's just say it rhymes with Awful House.
Oh, yes.
Never again. If the sign looks like a ransom note, don't go in. That's a Jim Gaffigan joke.
So yes, I got that.
That one, yeah.
All right, let's go on with the show. We have our first guest lined up already. She is one of our favorite people in the world. She has been coming on our shows for years and years and years, for 9 years, actually, since we first started. And she is just terrific. She's a super person, a super individual, a great mom, and she's cute as a button. And that is Canadian eventer Jessica Phoenix is joining us. But before she does, we have to hear this. Jessica!
Hello!
You like that music for you?
Like that? I loved it.
Good to talk to you again.
Oh, that is great.
Congratulations!
Thank you so much.
We're so excited for you, and you are one of our favorite people in the Horse Radio Network history, and we do love when you come on and talk to us. And you know, I was kind of disappointed, and then I was very happy. So I'm glad you're here.
Thank you so much.
I was more than a little disappointed, to be honest. I went on a rant for about 10 minutes to listen.
Oh boy.
That's how much I love you, Jess.
You've got two of us here because I'm hacking a little romance as we speak.
Are you?
Yes. We
love when riders are riding when we talk to them. And, you know, for those that don't know, Jessica is on the Canadian eventing team. She's heading off to Rio, and her horse that she's going to Rio with, his name is A Little Romance. So why this horse, and tell us about this horse for the listeners who know nothing about him.
Okay, A Little Romance is a Tricaner mare. She is probably around 15-2 hands. And she is 110% heart. She's a super competitive horse in her mind and her athletic ability. And she is just so much fun to ride. And I can't wait to get her to Rio and compete for Canada.
Why? You have so many horses. Was this one just the most qualified at this moment? Or did you have a choice? Did they have a choice, rather, the selectors? What was the scoop?
Yeah, so the selectors make the decision as to which horse I'll ride. So they chose A Little Romance, and then they've listed Bentley's Best as her alternate. So we call her Blue Eyes in the barn, and she's just got a really stellar CCI three-star record. She won the Bromont three-star, and then she was sixth at the Galway Downs three-star last fall. So I think she's really coming into her own, and it's a really exciting horse for Canada right now.
And she's a little horse for you, as your horses
go.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, most of my horses are between kind of 15 hands and like 16-1. So I definitely ride smaller horses. But
and for those that don't know Jessica, she's about 5'4", 5'5"?
Maybe 5'4".
Yeah, I thought I was stretching that a little bit. So, but it's, you know, now, did you have any concern? Well, obviously not. You fought to get there. But did you have any concerns at all? Was it ever a discussion with your husband about going to Rio?
Yeah, I mean, for sure, there's always talk about the Zika virus. And, you know, with their president being impeached, it doesn't make you feel warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, I think you really have to trust in the Canadian Olympic Committee, and they've got a lot of security going on down there, and they've given us lots of protocol to follow to keep us safe from the Zika virus. So I think you just really have to trust in your Olympic Committee and move forward.
And speaking of your federation's got a new name.
Yes, they just had a brand new brand release, which is really exciting. On the 14th of July. So they've got actually some really cool things going on right now.
And they're kind of revamping the whole outfit, the whole federation there in Canada right now.
Yeah, they totally are. I think they're in a rebuilding phase, and coming out with this new brand is really exciting. They're kind of reworking a lot of the organization from top to bottom. And I think it's actually a really exciting time for Canada.
Now, is it Equestrian Canada now? Is that the new name?
Yes.
Okay. Got it.
Yes.
Now, is anybody going, or is are anybody going to watch, is what I'm asking?
Okay. So A Little Romance's owner, Don and Anita Leeshide, will be in Rio to cheer her on.
Yay!
Yay!
Good. Good. Is the husband staying home? Is he going?
He is. Yeah, he's going to stay home with our children. We just, we don't really want to take the kids to Rio right now.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
So I think it might just be safer for everyone if they stay home and cheer us on from home.
Well, shout out to your owners too.
Yeah, they are amazing people. It's like a dream come true for them. And they would be the first ones to tell you. She was born in their backyard in Woodley, Ontario. Yeah, which is like a small town by Windsor. And I mean, they were both there for the birth of her. And it's just like an unbelievable story that their little girl is going to the Olympics. So everyone is really excited.
So this is really kind of a hometown story too.
It is. It's amazing. And then A Little Romance's father, A Fine Romance, actually just passed away this year. So yesterday I got an incredibly special gift from Blue's owners. It's a piece of jewelry. It's a bracelet, and it's made from Blue's father and from her mother's tails.
Oh, wow. Isn't that cool? Did that make you cry? Jeez, yeah. You're making me cry.
It did. It did. It gave me goosebumps, and then I cried. And Blue Eyes has her own little bracelet that attaches to her halter with her mom and dad's tail in it as well. It's really beautiful jewelry. Yeah.
Was her mom and dad, were they inventors? What did they do?
So Blue's mom evented up to the preliminary level, I believe. And then her father was actually a full thoroughbred. I don't believe he ever evented, but don't quote me on that.
Well, that's very cool.
It's an amazing story.
Now, what's the plan? How does this all work for people that have never been to the Olympics, which is 99.99% of us?
Right.
you will leave when, and how does it all work?
Okay, so we head down to Ocala, Florida to training camp. So we'll leave on Friday and arrive on Saturday. And then we train in Ocala until the 29th, and then we drive to Miami, and then the horses fly out of Miami on the 30th straight to Rio.
Is there a quarantine in Rio?
There's no quarantine in Rio, but there's a 7-day quarantine on the way home from Rio.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
That's what I've always wondered. You know, some places, they'll have different quarantines, especially I don't know about large animals, but small animals going to England at the time, it was like a 6-week thing. And I always wondered if they're flying for events and, you know, what we're less than 20 days out, I think. I don't know when the eventing starts, but if they have to abide by the quarantine, or that's always been really fascinating, is how they get these horses all over the world.
I know it's amazing, and I think each country definitely has their own rules about it all. But for Rio, the quarantine will happen on the way home.
Now, is stabling, from what I read, and I don't know if this is true or not, stabling is on the grounds where you're going to be competing, but you guys will be staying a good distance from there? Is that?
Yeah, so the athlete village is a little bit of a drive. So we'll be in the athlete shuttles to get back and forth from the village to the horses. And then our grooms will be staying on site with our horses.
Wow.
That's what I was going to ask and so you'll have to forgive me. I know little to nothing about eventing, but as far as, I guess, your team, do you have people going with you that you're employing, or is that provided by the team, or?
So A Little Romance's groom is Sandra Andresen, and she's a little powerhouse. She is very similar to A Little Romance. So we're incredibly lucky to have Sandra in our lives, and she will be with Blue from start to finish, which is great.
Does she get to go on the plane too?
You know what? She'll be there to help load her, and then she doesn't actually get to go on the plane with the horses, but she'll meet Blue on the other side when the plane lands.
Terrific. Well, we are so excited for you. I can't help but also mention, talk about the WAG. We were so excited to come up to your neck of the woods for WAG, and now it doesn't look like that's going to happen.
I know. Oh man.
I was going to come stay at your house. I had the room already reserved, and now look at
what. We had your name on the door.
I know. I reserved that one. I think I reserved that in 2010.
That's right. Your name has been on that door for a while.
And now you're probably going to have to come back here to Aachen or someplace. Jeez.
Well, that would be all right. I mean, as a backup contingency plan, I wouldn't mind that at all.
Now we can go hang out in Lexington together again. We can do that again.
That's right.
Well, you got this other little thing called the Olympics to get through first. So good luck with that. And we're your biggest fans, and we're going to be rooting for you guys. And let's also give a shout out to Rebecca Howard. Is it Colleen? Is it Loach? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yep, Colleen Loach.
And, of course, Celino Hanlon are the other members of your fantastic team up there in Canada. Catherine Robinson is going as the traveling reserve. So you guys have a strong team, and, we're big fans of the Canadians, so we're going to be watching.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right. Thanks, Jessica.
Have a great day.
All right. Give A Little Romance a carrot for us.
I will.
All right. Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Isn't she delightful?
Oh, yeah. I missed the last 10 seconds. My dogs just went crazy, and I wanted to make sure. I'm up in the very top room, and I want to make sure they weren't barking over everything. But yeah, you know, that's so fascinating to me. I was a little bit starstruck. I just let you guys do your thing because I don't think I've ever spoken to an Olympian before. So that's really
she's great.
Exciting.
You know, we started following Jessica when she was making, during the WEG, we did the World Equestrian Games radio show before 2010. And we had an athlete that had never competed in an international event before. And we followed one from every discipline. And Jessica was the, I don't know how we ended up with Jessica, but she was the one that we found, and we started following her 2 years before the WEG. So literally, she has been coming on our shows since before we had any listeners. I mean, she was on from the very beginning, and she would come on once a month with us and in the lead up to the WEG. And then she's just been a superstar ever since. She rides like 10 horses at events and really is a serious competitor. And we joke because she had two babies, and she was riding to like 8.5 months, and then. And she competed at like a 3-star event like 4 weeks after she had the baby.
Oh my goodness.
So she is just
Can you say super mom?
Yeah. We always thought she was a robot. I don't know that she's actually
I want to take 3 weeks off because I rolled my ankle.
I know.
It bruised a little.
I think she's a cyborg or something. I don't think
yeah.
she's human.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. With Star Trek
and
coming
also,
out this
can we
weekend.
Say super dad too?
Yes, I mean her husband has super been dad. So supportive. He's a cow guy, actually. He travels
cool.
the world.
He's been on your show, hasn't he, Glenn?
Yeah, he travels the world. Isn't he? He's a judge at like cow shows,
wow.
and he travels the world doing that. So there's a job that you don't hear about too often either. Just a cool family, and we're very excited that anytime I call and ask, she comes on the show, and of course we'll get her on after she's done down there in Rio as well. We'll find out the real story of how Rio went. But I'm looking forward to watching it. Of course, NBC is going to be doing all the coverage. They're doing some neat stories about horses already. Jennifer posted one this morning on our Horses Radio Network Facebook page. And keep an eye out. I think we're going to get some good coverage online on the NBC for the horse part of the Olympics coming up.
I wanted to ask really quick.
Yeah.
Elisa Wallace, I heard that she might be a traveling alternate.
No,
is that true for our team?
She got bumped. She didn't do so well in the I think she fell off, didn't she, Jennifer?
Oh, rats.
In the
yeah,
event in Virginia.
At Great Meadow.
She just
got popped
started,
out of the pack.
Yeah.
But
she's a trooper. She'll
go
be back.
Bomb. We'll see her again.
Yep. We'll see her again. All right, let's do this. Let's take a break for Ovation, our fine sponsor for this half hour, and then we're coming back with the Haggard Horse Health Report in 1 minute. We'll be right back.
Horse people know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. ovationriding.com. It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
Well, that's right. It is time for the Haggard Horse Health Report that we do here once a week. And we have Karen Wolfsdorf on with us. She's a doctor over there, a veterinarian, and we're going to be talking about embryo transfer. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning to you both.
But before we talk about that, let's get to the important. I know Haggard wants us to talk about health stuff, right? But we got to first talk about your daughter, because Isabella De Sosa has been on with us a couple of times. She has competed at the Thoroughbred Makeover and won in the jumper division. That's what we had her on last year. And she's competing again this year against, by the way, Mary, my co-host. So we got some competition on the phone.
Ooh,
here, Mary.
That'll be exciting.
Yeah. So tell us
what
she's up to this year. What's going on?
Well, she, again, is going to compete in the Hunters and the Jumpers, and she has actually a four-year-old this year named Cara Hilo, or we call him Chino in the barn. And he is by the stallion Medaglio d'Oro, and he is a huge, neat, gorgeous horse who has just been a lot of fun to start to get going and progress with, and she's just having a lot of fun again this year in moving him through the steps. And it's interesting because he is different to Dewey from last year. So, you know, she's having to adjust her training and learning herself, too. So it's really exciting to watch the progression.
And Mary, she's like still in high school, right? Isn't she?
Oh, great. That makes me feel adequate. She could probably ride circles around me.
Isn't she like 17?
No, she's just turned 15, actually.
Oh, there you go, Mary. That even makes it worse.
Even better. At 15, okay. I was in marching band. I mean, you know, it was serious stuff, but...
You weren't training third rounds at 15?
Well, she lives, breathes, and eats, you know, horses. So, you know, not literally, but of course, that's pretty much her life. She
So let's just clarify, Karen. She's going in the jumper and the hunter division?
Yeah, she's going to compete in both of those divisions,
Mary,
again, like she
off.
Did with Dewey last year.
Cross those off your list, Mary.
No hunters and no jumpers. Yeah. Well, that actually is the really cool thing about this event. It's different than other training challenges where everyone's going head-to-head and, you know, a lot of you can ride different disciplines, but sometimes, you know, it's kind of hard to judge a hunter against a cow horse in one class. And so it's cool that they've got 10 different classes and people can go and win, you know, at different events. And so, I mean, it is competitive. There is going to be like a overall winner at the end, and I think a fan favorite. But the classes are so different. I think I'm penciled in for working cow horse and freestyle. But
you should be safe then. You're okay. Except when we get to the finals.
Well, it really isn't. It's an amazing program, and it was very interesting for me to watch, you know, just all of the different categories and disciplines that these horses can participate in and actually do really, really well.
Now, are you one of those mamas that was sitting there and you just were a nervous wreck and had your hands over your eyes or not?
I have to say I am one of those mamas. It's not so much hands over the eyes. It's the body language of jumping over the jumps as she goes. And my husband always makes fun of me because he sees me riding the course with her, you know, in the background. But I am not nearly as good a rider. I'm just one of those backyard hackers that enjoys getting on a horse. So I don't have any formal training, but
I love
to watch it, I have to say.
We should say that Haggard is sponsoring them, right, this year?
Absolutely. Cara Hilo is the Haggard-sponsored horse this year, which is equally exciting to keep it in the family. And they've been great with supplying her veterinary care as well as pharmacy products to keep him healthy. So it really has been great to partner with them.
Oh, that's a pretty good deal. I mean, that's a pretty good deal. If you're going to partner with anybody for your horse, the vet clinic is a good place to go because what's the most expensive part of keeping a horse? It's pretty much that.
Buying the horse is always the cheap part.
Yes, exactly.
I always forget that.
Yes, so you do. That's why Mary's about 85 horses out there. She refuses to count them anymore.
After 11, why bother?
Karen, so one other thing I got to ask you about your daughter, because I'm always curious about this, especially with the horse girls, is do you have to like beg her to do her homework, or is she pretty good about the homework just so she can get to the horses, or is that the constant battle? I'm trying to find something wrong with this girl.
Well, you know, she knows that we really feel that education is important. And so she really has to be organized in order to complete her schoolwork as well as be able to ride the horses. So she actually has become very organized and, you know, gets her work done appropriately because she knows that mom will not be very happy if she doesn't. So, but she's very good about it.
Yeah, it's official. There's nothing wrong with her.
I've been digging, studious.
Yes.
I've been trying to find something. Well, I got to tell you, we're excited to have you here to switch gears now and talk a little bit about embryo transfer.
Right.
Mary?
Yeah. Oh, so this is something that I didn't even realize you could do with horses until I started working in the Rainers. And so a lot of people don't know it. So as far as horses go, what is embryo transfer?
Well, it's a procedure that we can do in non-thoroughbred breeds. So the thoroughbred breed does not allow this procedure to happen, but most of the other breeds do. And what it actually entails is you breed a mare, and then you come back 6 to usually 8 days post-ovulation, and you're able to flush the developing embryo from the donor mare. And then you're able to take that embryo, and you're able to transfer it into a recipient mare, or kind of like a surrogate mother. And then that embryo grows and develops into a foal, and then that recipient mare has the foal for the donor mother.
And why would someone want to go through all this? Why would they want to do embryo transfer with their horse?
Well, it gives you a lot of different options. A lot of the performance horses are able to compete while going through this whole process. So we work around the show schedule in order to be able to breed these mares and flush the embryos so that these mares can continue in their athletic career while they are, in fact, are having babies. So it gives them basically a longevity in both their performance career as well as their reproductive career. The other option occurs is if the mare is old and the uterine environment isn't very good and isn't conducive to carrying a baby to term. So what we can do is we can still get an embryo from these mares, but they don't have to carry the baby and, you know, potentially lose it because we can put it into a nice, young, healthy uterus for it to grow, you know, normally. And then one of the last reasons that we would use embryo transfer is in mares that potentially have some medical problems, like if they're not able to carry a foal or if they develop laminitis when they get heavy in foal, because obviously as you become more pregnant, you get heavier in weight, and that can put pressure on their feet. So mares that have an issue like that, you can then totally take that side effect away by placing the embryo into a recipient mare, and then they can still have a baby and not have the problems associated with it.
And, you know, coming from the Western world, like I said, it wasn't, I worked at my first reining barn and someone said, oh, go bring in the recip mares. I'm like, what are recip mares? And we had about 15 mares and they were all carrying foals. I know in the reining, it's really prevalent in the quarter horse world on the Western side. Is it getting pretty popular in other disciplines on the English side of things?
Yeah, we actually do a lot of warm blood mares. We do quarter horses, we see a lot of standard breds, we see a lot of saddlebreds. It depends on the breed, because also by depending on what your breed allows you to do, you can have numerous babies in 1 year by different stallions. So it allows you different variation in genetics also. And it is very important to make sure you have good quality recipient mares, and a lot of them, because you need probably at least two that you can synchronize to cycle the same as the donor mare. And that way you have the best options to have them exactly the same in their cyclicity, because timing is really the most important thing.
You know, and something I've always wondered, the barns where I worked, we had some recip mares that were wonderful mothers, and they were just great to handle, very easy going through the birthing process. But we did get the odd one here and there that were, I remember one mare in particular, she wasn't hardly halter broke. It was sort of a tricky thing to get her gentle enough by the time she foaled out so that we could handle her baby without worrying about her. And I just noticed this watching. I don't know if they've done any studies on this, but I really do think that the recip mares play a part in how those foals grow up mentally. I tended to notice that the more jumpy, hot recent mares, their babies would be the same way, training them as weanlings. And so do you ever think that even though this is not biologically their baby, do you think that they have any kind of effect on the foal and physically or mentally?
I think it's more the environment that they're in, you know, depending on where the foal grows up and at what situation in the farm. You know, foals that are handled a lot, even if their mares are jumpy and maybe not the best to handle, they do perfectly fine. So I think it's not just the mare's attitude around the foal. I think it also has a lot to do with how much they're being handled, what the situation is on the farm, and the interaction of people with the foal, you know, from an early age. So, you know, I also think that recipient mares do get handled quite a bit, and you do look for those that are easier to handle just because you are working with them so much in order to understand where they are in their cycle. You may be, you know, checking them daily, you know, for a week at a time. So they get used to being handled more, obviously, the more you handle them.
For sure, absolutely. And so when they're looking for recent mares, obviously you want them gentle and easy to handle. Are there any kind of other qualities that makes a good recent mare physically? Obviously, I wouldn't think, would size even play a factor? Like, could you have a more drafty recent mare with a smaller horse or vice versa? Is that any kind of thing that you're looking for?
Well, the most important thing is that they have a good uterus, right? So what we look for is young mares, usually between 7 and 10 years old. We would like them to have had a foal before, just so that we know how their maternal instincts are. It also helps with the whole foaling process. Maiden mares are a little tighter and less relaxed and saggy and baggy, like most of us. And so they're, you know, they're a little bit harder to deal with and to foal. So we look for mares that potentially have had at least a foal, that have are young, and that their uterus is free of infection, and that they have a good environment for the foal to obviously grow. Older mares that have infections or have poor conformation behind, those really are the ones that we try and stay away from, because it would be really horrible to go through all this effort of getting an embryo and then put it into an environment that really isn't conducive for its growth. So we also do try and match up with regard to sizes. You know, we would obviously not try to put a draft horse in a mini mare, but it actually is amazing how the uterus compensates and what genes do. So even though the foal may come out a little bit small, that foal is going to grow to its genetic potential anyway.
What's the success rate? You know, you do the embryo transfers to stick all the time. Is it 50%? What's the number?
Well, again, it really depends. It depends on what your donor mare is. So if she's a young mare that's normal and everything goes right, then you have a good 70 to 80% chance to actually flush an embryo out of her. If you're dealing with a mare that's 21 years old, that has had chronic uterine infections, that this is the reason why we're doing embryo transfer, because her uterus is not able to carry the foal, then obviously your recovery rates for embryos is going to be a little lower. And then you have to remember that every time you manipulate an embryo, or we, you know, go away from Mother Nature, you're going to have a little bit lower pregnancy rates. And so usually once you transfer an embryo, it may be anywhere from, again, 70 to 80% that you have a pregnancy determined in that recipient mare.
Got it. Well, this has been very interesting. Not something that a lot of us think about all the time, but obviously it's work that you do and is more popular in certain segments of the horse world, and you're in Lexington, so very popular there. and with sport horses, and as Mary said, especially on the western side and the reining and things like that.
Well, and I've always wondered, you know, we know a lot of people know about the thoroughbreds not really being able to do this in order to be in the registry, but are there any other breed registries that would not allow this, that would have to be live covered, that you know of?
Not that I know of. There are stipulations within each breed whether you can register one foal versus five foals. So one thing I would recommend is before you go into this whole endeavor, make sure that you know what your breed requires or what is allowed with regards to registering the foals.
I think AQHA is five. It was a lot because I remember having several foals hit the ground by the same mother each year. There is a cap on how many that you can register, so you're not just completely flooding the market with 10 foals out of the same mare each year.
Yeah, and I mean, you also have to look at genetics. It does allow for that genetic diversity and, you know, to make your mare as productive as she can be, reproductive-wise.
Yeah, I never thought about it that way before. Well, thank you, Karen, for joining us. We really appreciate it. Best of luck to your daughter. And we'll have to get her on before the event here in the fall. So we'll have to get her back and say hi to her and then follow up with her after as well.
I will. And thank you so much for taking the time with me this morning.
All right. And of course, it's Haggard it's Haggard Horse Health Report. And we have them on every Wednesday. And we try and get a different vet talking about a different topic. If you've missed some of the past ones, you can just go search for Haggard on our website at horsesinthemorning.com. It'll bring up all of the past episodes. And we are going to actually hear a little bit more about Haggard now. And then we're going to come back. We have another guest right away. We're going to be talking about an interesting product that has come to the market right after this.
Haggard Equine Medical Institute in Lexington, Kentucky and Wellington, Florida has been treating racehorses, sport horses, and beloved pasture ornaments for 140 years. With some 30 ambulatory doctors, 24-hour emergency care, full surgical suite, dedicated sport horse facility, wide range of proven therapies, and full-service pharmacy, Haggard offers everything your horse needs for the proper diagnosis and best treatment. Visit Haggard.com for more information, or you can call them at 859-255-8741. Follow Haggard Equine Medical Institute on Facebook or on Twitter, at Haggard, and receive health alerts and the latest information on keeping your horse healthy and happy.
Hello, folks. Uncle Jimmy here, and welcome to the world of Uncle Jimmy brand products, where funny names mean serious products. Featuring Uncle Jimmy's Squeezy Buns, the squeezably soft hand treat that your horse will love. The award-winning Uncle Jimmy's Hangin' Balls. Uncle Jimmy's Sugar-Free Ball. The incredible Licky Thing, also in sugar-free. The amazing Uncle Jimmy's Pecker Wrecker, and the Big Licky. The infamous Uncle Jimmy Hangin' Ball was first designed by me for my own horses to help reduce the bad habits which come from stall boredom. It now can be found around the world. This nutritious, flavored, filled boredom buster will help keep your horses occupied and happy around the clock. Properly hung, it will last for weeks, provided you don't let your horse pin it. And Uncle Jimmy knows who you are. The ball comes in four flavors: apple, carrot, peppermint, molasses, and now sugar-free. Once again, welcome to the world of Uncle Jimmy's brand products, where funny names mean serious products, and satisfaction is 100% guaranteed.
And Uncle Jimmy has a lot of cool things going on over there, some new products coming out, and we're going to have him back on the show here soon. He's a big mounted shooter now, and I say big because I've had dinner with Uncle Jimmy, and he stands about 4 or 5 inches taller than me, and I'm 6'1". So Uncle Jimmy's a lot of fun, and we love his products, and I know you guys do too. Well, speaking of products, we're going to hear about a new one coming up right now. And this had a Kickstarter campaign that did very well. And I love anything technology-wise, Mary and I love. It's called I Rock and Ride, and we're going to hear about it right now. Leah Lane's on with us. Good morning.
Good morning, Mary and Glenn. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us. We're both kind of geeks and really love the tech stuff. So when I saw this, it was like, okay, we got to hear more about this. And I got to say that you immediately won my heart when, you know, when this little product, one of the things on here was music, phone calls, lessons, apps, podcasts. You actually knew what a podcast was, which made my day.
I'm totally a geek at heart, and I love so many things, but electronics is so new to me, and it's my new passion, and I just love to dive in and learn about new things every day, but this has been my obsession for the past 6 years.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you, the only thing that would make this better, and we're going to find out what the product is if you, in front of podcasts there on your website, if you put Horse Radio Network podcasts, it would be perfect. Just saying.
We can definitely discuss that.
All right, good. I'm sure we can.
It goes hand in hand, yes.
All right, let's talk about iRock and Ride. What is it? What's it do?
It's the world's first and only smartphone integrated Bluetooth speaker that attaches to any saddle super securely, so you can pair it with Bluetooth to your phone or your iPod and store your device, you know, in its holster or within 20 meters away and be able to focus on riding. So your ears aren't plugged, your hands aren't busy, your eyes are focused, and you can enjoy the ride no matter what it is that you do. If you need to be connected, whether you're waiting for a phone call, if you like to ride to music, if you need to send an emergency text or, God forbid, call 911, you're not having to fish your phone out of your saddlebags, wiggle it out of your pocket, drop it, fumble around, take your eyes off the horse and your surroundings, and then, you know, get your hands busy and off the reins. I really couldn't find anything that was basically the original hands-free for your car, but for the saddle.
Well, that, and now...
So it's
I have a couple of Bluetooth speakers, and I cannot take calls with them. So this one will do that.
This one is, they call it smartphone integrated. What it does is when it pairs to your device, whether it's a smartphone that has Siri or whether it's an Android that uses a different hands-free
like OK Google
feature,
or
like
whatever.
Google.
Yeah.
Right. It pairs with that, so you're able to hit the hands-free function, depress that for a few seconds. It pings that feature on your smartphone, so you can not only say, call so-and-so, you can say set timer for 15 minutes if you're on trail ride. You can say set reminder, I need to pick up carrots at the grocery store on the way home. You can do 90% of the features that your smartphone can do hands-free with the iRock and Ride speaker without having your eyes and your hands off the ride.
That's very cool. Now I'm looking, this seems to attach like in an English saddle, it attaches kind of differently on Western and English saddles, right?
Correct. And that is what took 25 redesigns over the course of 3 years. I wanted something to attach very securely to any sort of saddle. And it is one tiny little speaker and one super strong silicone strap that manipulates around the D-rings under the front of an English saddle and then back onto it, onto the speaker. And for a Western saddle, it's, you can dally. You can dally around the horn. You can dally around the swell if you need your horn. And if you need everything in front of you clear, you can also attach it to your Latigo keeper. But it's so universal. I get pictures from people all over the world, which is so fun to me. I love to see the new applications. I get it on people's golf carts, on their golf bags. Shoers put it on the pipe corral next to where they're shoeing horses. People put it on their construction hard hats. Joggers put it on their arms. So it's a very universal design that turned out to attach anywhere. It's only 3.5 inches wide, 1.5 inches tall, with one 20-inch strap that's totally separate that you can secure on, and it is very secure. Because when we ride, we're constantly doing the expected and also the unexpected. I wanted something out of the way, simple, easy to control. Because people call me and they're like, well, I can buy a $5 speaker at Walmart. A, what's that going to sound like? B, how do you attach it to any saddle in a very usable position? And C, can it ping your smartphone features and say, add to my calendar, I have a conference up call coming up in 15 minutes. So,
and not to mention
the design of it is what took so long.
Yeah, and this thing looks incredibly durable. You know, I've also experimented with Bluetooth equipment to have in my saddle because it is something that I think is really important for safety, among other things. And it just looks like if it gets dirt in it, you know, most products looks like if they get dirt in it, it's just going to fall apart. And this looks like I can accidentally drop it in the dirt, or if I have it on my pipe rail fence and a horse brushes against it, it just looks really durable for riding outside, especially in the dust.
Right. And that was a major concern because I know horses. I know I'm probably the clutchiest person that you've ever met. I drop everything. Hopefully I don't hit the dirt, but if the speaker were to hit the dirt, it's not only moisture resistant, so it can handle rain, like a medium type rain. It can also handle the dust that we throw at everything. And it's durable. I wanted to make sure that it could sustain if you're busy, or goodness sakes, if something bad were to happen and everybody hits the dirt, I want it to have a very high impact rating. Yes, you're exactly right.
And the other thing I like, and this is one of my biggest pet peeves about the ones you buy at the store, and as I said, I have a lot of Bluetooth speakers. One, they don't get loud. They're not loud enough, and I assume this one can get loud, but also the buttons are tiny. If you're trying to control one of those speakers that you have attached to your saddle somehow, you have duct tape to your saddle, you're not going to be able to do it easily because the buttons are always so small. You've got huge buttons on this thing for the answer, make a call, for forward, backward, mute, that kind of thing. Your buttons are huge.
I understand what we all do, whether we ride English, whether we ride Western. All over the world, I've been blessed to experience a lot of great riders and ride a lot of great horses myself. I wanted it to be a very directional sound and it's currently the world's smallest speaker with the biggest sound. And it is directional and positioned straight to you. I wanted to make it considerate to other riders that are in the arena that may not want music, may not want to hear your call. So if you're on a trail ride, maybe the people next to you can hear the music, but if you're in a big arena, I wanted that sound to come straight up to the rider. If you want a very personal phone call, you can flip the unit over and you can plug in your earbuds on the other side. So if you're at a show and you want to receive some coaching, you can do it on the down low. So the sound is clear. I love music. And I want to be able to hear people when they talk to me on the phone. I wanted the sound crystal clear. So the engineers, because I worked with a great team and did so many redesigns, the sound had to be amazing. And I know, like you said, you have a ton of Bluetooth speakers, the same. I've probably gone through 50, but none of them attached to my horse. And you're right about the buttons. You can't manipulate it. How do you do the sound without leaning over and finding the volume or twisting it around? The buttons, because some of us ride with gloves, some of us don't, they had to be almost a braille so you can memorize it. And you're only going to use three buttons that are facing you, no matter how you position the speaker on any saddle. Essentially, three buttons, super simple.
And, you know, now I did notice on here, and I wanted to ask you about that. It says about using it for lessons, like for your instructor, so you can hear your instructor. How does that work?
Currently, the lessons are accomplished via a phone call, okay. Whether it's a free conference call or a phone call. You can have the option of the student placing it on microphone mute. So, for example, if you were giving me a lesson, and you don't want to hear any wind feedback, or you don't want to hear me say, oh no.
Or you don't want to hear the excuses from your student. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Yeah.
when my trainer says leg, 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 yeah. And I'm like, I am. Exactly. You can place it on a microphone mute, which is also handy if you're on a conference call for work or for school. When you're in a phone call, you press microphone mute, a red button pops up, and the microphone is muted. So the trainer, for example, would not hear your feedback or your talk back.
Okay. That makes sense.
And because not everybody has cellular where they ride. and I get that. I am working on a two-way radio feature for this. I think that's important. I like to pack horses in the middle of nowhere or ride in different people's arenas, and sometimes that phone call isn't even possible. I am working on a two-way radio feature for this.
Cool. Well, and the endurance riders will like to hear that too, because they're always in places where there's no signal. So I love this idea. I especially love it because a lot of people listen to our podcasts while they're riding, and if they don't want to have earphones in, then they could use this and still listen to us while they're riding. So for me, it's perfect. I love it. We just have to talk about getting the HRN logo right there across the top, and we're in good shape.
Well, we can talk about that. But safety is my primary concern. I understand what we do, and we're manipulating a 1,000-pound animal. We need to be as safe as possible and respectful for other people around us. I wanted a hands-free, ears-free device that we could still keep our eyes straight ahead, not pulling our phone or our iPod out, texting, down and not looking around where we're at, because it's just, it's rude, B,
okay,
it's not safe.
But,
and I wanted the original hands-free for the saddle.
But Leah, does it play Pokemon? That's the big question.
That's kind of the most important.
I have this theory that horses have their own Pokemon, and mine is looking for plastic bags.
It is, every day. Yeah, mine is too. So I got you. All right, it's $129, which I actually think is the right price. It's a perfect price for this. I thought it would be more than that. A lot of times, things that are made specifically for the horse world end up being 10 times more than they should be. And this is about right where this kind of speaker would be if you weren't buying it for horses. So good job on that. And I also read that it'll do about 3 to 6 hours on the battery, which is perfect. Just plug it in when you're done. If people want to find it, is it available now? Can they buy it?
Yes, there's two colors available right now. There is a sable brown, which blends smoothly with most of our saddles if you don't want it to be noticed or you just like a clean look. There's also aqua blue, which has been very, very popular. Coming in September, there is a coal black, because a lot of people have
black saddles, yeah.
Black dressage saddles, and oh my gosh, black is coming back in so cute for Western pleasure. Black, coal black and coral. And with that September arrival, there's going to be printed straps for the silicone straps. One is a cheetah print, one is Aztec print, and the other is a zebra floral, which is very fun.
I think
they're reversible and super strong.
I think Mary's on shopping right now, actually. She's gotten awful quiet.
I usually mean she's
buying something.
I actually am. I'm looking at, it's a cheetah print strap. It's very, I really like this. And it reminds me of a story where this would have been very helpful. And it's the time that I was fumbling with my very large phone because it's the size of a cookie tin. And I dropped it in the arena and I couldn't find it. And I had to buy a metal detector to find my phone.
There you go. There's a story.
Was it broken?
My phone. It was okay. I got so frustrated. I walked the arena. Finally, I got my drag out. I'm like, this will dig it up. At that point, I was like, I'm going to
run it over with a tractor.
And drug the arena, couldn't find it. Next day, had to go buy a metal detector, and the price of the metal detector would have easily paid for this. And the metal detector, like the first swipe, just pinged it off. And that, I'm so hard on my phones that my insurance company dropped me. And it's because a lot of the time I'm fumbling with them. So I would love to be able to just throw my phone in my saddlebag. And what I would probably even do for myself is, and it looks like I could do this without it being too cumbersome, is wear the speaker on me, because the range of this, any other devices that I've looked at that are on the market that are not horse, obviously, the range is only like 30 feet. And you said it was what is the range for this?
30 feet too, right?
It's labeled for 10 meters away, but it goes as far as 20. It just really depends on your phone case
and
that you may have on your phone.
In my small arena,
and
the
Bluetooth strength.
Yeah.
It's about this, a 20 meter circle is a third of a dressage ring or a standard round pen. But back to your phone, I did a cowboy challenge and dropped my phone that flew out of, I don't know what I was thinking. I had it in my back pocket, flew out, did the cowboy challenge, ran to home and picked up my phone and it was shattered. Each phone screen is like $100 to replace. So I get that.
They won't even replace them anymore.
I haven't had to drag my arena, but I get that.
Well, guys, we have to wrap this up. I Rock and Ride. That's IROCKNRide.com. We'll put a link to it in our show notes and also on our Facebook page. Good job with this. I know how hard it is to bring a product to market, and the fact that you've done it successfully and had a good Kickstarter campaign is perfect. And I'm seeing this as going to be very popular at Christmas time. This is going to be a Christmas gift for half the horse people out there. So good luck with it.
Thank you so much, Mary and Glenn.
All right. Take care, Lee. There you go, Mary.
Thank you.
This will solve your problem. And all of you people out there listening to your podcast while you're riding or would like to, perfect. There you go. And that was not a paid commercial. That was just something fun we found that we like to share with you because you know me, I'm a geek. So
yeah, no, that's a pretty cool product. I love that finally the tech world is seeping into the horse world. We're a stubborn lot and we refuse to change, but I think it's finally
we're getting
some of the cool gadgets. Yeah, that's right. That are just for horse people.
We're getting there. Eventually, we'll be technologically savvy in the horse.
We're going to be able to get rid of VHS before long.
Are we that far? Or are we still in A-track?
I think there's still some of those out there.
And now we're going to try and get, speaking of technology, this is something that for some reason has not worked successfully over the past couple of weeks, is trying to get Victoria on the line from England. Hi, Victoria, are you there?
I'm here. Oh, how are you?
Okay, good. Talk some more. You sounded terrible there.
Oh, no. Is it any better?
Oh, no, it's terrible. Are you on?
Oh, no.
Let me try and call you back.
Okay, cool. Okay.
I don't know why Victoria is so troublesome. Every week we seem to have one problem or another, and this shouldn't be that difficult. But Skype, for some reason, this week has been causing all kinds of trouble. So let's see here.
Yeah, my Bluetooth was a little sketchy this morning. I was actually worried about, not Bluetooth, Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's sunspots or what, because we've been having Skype issues all week recording the shows with losing hosts. And of course, I can't get her back now. I think
because that happened to me in Missouri, actually.
Yeah, we're going to have to. Is she back?
I'm here. Can you hear me? Is it better?
Oh, much better. And you know, we got to hear your velvety voice. You can't be all garbled. Oh, she's gone.
Oh, well, darn it.
Victoria, are you back?
I'm back. I don't know what happened there. It just dropped out.
Okay, you sound good. Let's hope it stays.
Okay, cool.
Let's hope it stays. So thank you so much for joining us. Of course, Victoria is with horseandcountry.tv. She joins us here every Wednesday with the European Report on the Wednesdays when Skype cooperates. So what is going on at Horse and Country TV?
Well, last week we went off to the announcement of the Paralympic team. And as you know, Britain is kind of quite good at Paralympic dressage. And
that's being humble. They pretty much own it.
We do. But everyone, the thing is about being the best is that it sets the bar for everybody else to catch up with. And the other nations are getting better and better. And one of the riders I spoke to, Lee Pearson, who's been on a team since back in 2000 in Sydney, he said that a lot of other countries are looking at how they get horses in Britain and how, you know, at what ownership schemes they use and the funding that they've got to improve the sport, and that they're all catching up. So one day we might not win our championship team gold, but apparently they've never been beaten at championships or Europeans or World or Olympic or Paralympic Games. They've never been beaten, which is quite a cool record.
You have one of the top riders in the world in Paralympics, and that's Lee Pearson. And he has pretty much just owned it for years.
Yeah. He is great. And but you know, as I say, the other nations are catching up, and I think he got double silver at his last championship. So and it was one of the European riders that took the gold that time. So he's been a linchpin of the team, but even he is having to work hard for his golds. But all the team are great. Like, we've got Sophie Christiansen, who's just always winning gold medals, and Natasha Baker. And we also have Anne Dunham, who competed at the very first Paralympic dressage event in 1996 back in Atlanta. And she's been on every team apart from London. So she obviously likes going further afield instead of competing at her home games, when I think she didn't have the right horse to compete at that one. But I still think that's pretty impressive.
And is Sophie Wells still on the team too?
Yeah, so Sophie Wells is the fifth member, and she's quite amazing because her ambition is to compete in the able-bodied Olympics as well as the Paralympics, and she's competing at international Grand Prix level, so she's pretty good. I think she was the first rider ever to compete as a young rider European medalist. Yeah, she competed in able-bodied and Paralympic level, which is really cool.
Now, do they go immediately after at the same time? How does that work? Is it immediately after?
In London, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks afterwards. So it just gives you a little bit of time to change all the venues around, and obviously all the branding, and they've got different logos and stuff. So I'd imagine it'll be similar in Rio.
Okay, so it'll be a couple of weeks after. Very good.
Yeah.
And then another name that has always showing up when we're talking about Olympics is Pippa Funnell.
Yes, now Pippa was chosen for the eventing team as traveling reserve, which a few people were quite surprised about, because obviously she's so successful and she's been on the team so many times. But actually, one of our other riders who was making her Olympic debut, her horse has just incurred a minor injury. And so she's out, and Pippa's in the team, and she's going to be joined by Tina Cook as traveling reserve. So you've got the old friends of William, Tina, and Pippa, who I think have known each other since they were in their teens. So they will no doubt happy to be at another Games together.
So your team then for eventing will be Pippa Funnell, be William Fox Pitt, you know, that guy. And then Kitty King, who is Mary King's daughter?
No, that's Emily King. Emily King.
I did that last week, didn't I?
You did.
I keep thinking, how many kings can you possibly have in that country that ride eventing?
Kitty King married a king, so she wasn't a king beforehand.
Ah, got it. So she married into royalty.
She did indeed. Yeah. and then the fourth one is Gemma Tattersall, who came third at badminton and has been doing really well in the Event Rider Masters series. So she is definitely one to watch.
You know, there's so many, when you talk about eventing, there are so many teams, the Australians and, of course, you know, the Germans. But there are so many teams this year that could really put up a fight. I mean, if you know who has a bad day, it could be anybody's game.
The thing is, I don't think Michael Young ever has a bad day.
That's true.
Even when he fell off at Burley and broke his leg, he still won on his other horse. So that's a bad day for Mikko Young. He is insane. And, you know, he just had the eventing in Aachen, which is a really competitive event, and the Germans are just on ridiculous form. Although it was Australians won the team competition. So they're another team that are on really good form. The New Zealanders, the Americans, obviously, the French are doing really well. So it is anybody's Olympics, but I think Germany is the one.
And, you know, that story about Michael Young breaking his leg and still riding, Mary was complaining earlier today that she sprained her ankle. Explain that story to her so she appreciates it.
No, I wasn't at Burley last year because it always clashes with Hickstead, one of the event that I work at, so I never get to go. But yeah, I think Mikko Young fell in the water, and it was a really random fall because he wasn't jumping in or out. He was just going into the water, and something happened and the horse plunged down, and I think he broke his leg, and then he did win on his other horse. And then he competed at the Europeans a few weeks later, and he was walking the course on a Segway because he couldn't walk very well, and he still won European team gold. So that's Mikko Young.
That's just insane. Yeah.
Just crazy, isn't it, Mary?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I was ready, you know, when I slightly rolled my ankle stepping out of the trailer, I was ready to be in bed for a week with a bell so I could be serve Waited breakfast in bed, but yeah. Oh, everyone's pain scale is a bit different.
You shouldn't say that you fell off the trailer. You should say that you were riding a really dangerous horse and no one else would get on.
That's right.
Make it sound really dramatic and exciting.
I was going after a runaway train full of orphans.
That's right.
Exactly.
It's never that story. It's I fell in the shower. I fell getting out of the trailer. You know, it's never that story for us. Only for Michael Young is it a cool story, right?
Exactly.
How about Scott Brash?
Yeah, no, Scott Jumper. Has. He was competing in the Rolex Grand Prix in Aachen, which is one of the three that make up the Rolex Grand Slam, along with Spruce Meadows and Geneva. And obviously, Scott won the $1 million bonus last year. He was just incredible. And so we didn't quite expect him to win this year because he doesn't have his top horse. He's out of Rio. He's not going to Rio. But he was riding Ursula, who used to be his top horse and then has been off for a couple of years through various things. And he came second. So not bad going on a horse that's just returning to the top level. But it was Germany's, oh no, this is going to test pronunciation. Germany's Philipp Weishaupt, I think you say it, who won. So, and it was his first like major Grand Prix win, so he was really happy. And he got engaged the day before, so it was quite a good weekend for him, I think.
Yeah, okay, so he gets engaged the day before. Did he, and then won $300,000 the next day. Did he take the diamond back and get a bigger one?
Well, I don't know, but apparently he's engaged to an American show jumper called Bliss Hears, so maybe you should track her down and ask.
Oh, I'd have to ask her how that went. Do we have any idea how he proposed? Did we hear that story?
No, I didn't, and I haven't heard that, which is poor journalism. I should track down the story, but yeah, they got engaged at Aachen, and apparently they met there as well, so it's quite a romantic place for them.
Okay, I'm seeing pictures of them hugging, so I think it was at a show. I think it might have been at a show.
Yeah, Aachen's been on for several days, so it was definitely at the show, but I don't know where or when. I'd like to think it was in the middle of the main arena in front of an adoring crowd. I think that would be quite romantic.
Yeah, that's always so risky, unless you're pretty sure she's going to say yes. And I know that Scott Brash, you've been trying to get him to adopt you for about 4 years now. How is that going?
Yeah, pretty badly. He is, I think he's about seven years younger than me, so it would be a bit random for him to adopt me. But he does live down my way because we grew up 10 miles apart, although, as they say, he was a bit younger, so I didn't really know him beyond that he was a kid that did lots of show jumping. But just perfectly normal, like normal level, like a bit of British show jumping, nothing kind of like that you would think, oh, this guy is going to be the best in the world for 2 years straight. He was just a normal guy. So he continued to live in Peebles, near where I grew up. And then just recently he's moved down. So I can only presume he is following me around the country.
That's it.
Yeah. But yeah, no, one day I've got to convince him he's going to give me a jumping lesson, but I don't think it will be anytime soon.
Now, one of the things we've talked to you about over the last several weeks is this show that you've helped produce. And what was it called again?
The Blue Chip All-Star Academy.
The All-Star Academy, right. And how did that go? Is it done now? Has it all been aired?
It's done. So we actually wrapped filming at the end of April, and then we had like a few weeks to edit the show and get it on air, and then it aired over a 5 week period and finished a couple of weeks ago. So our winner is called Rhiannon. She's a lovely Welsh girl, and if you head to her Facebook page, you can see her latest video blog where she takes her off the track thoroughbred for his first cross country schooling session. And you should just watch it because of her accent alone. It's a very
can you
cool
try
accent.
And get her on with you next week?
I will. Yeah, well, we're both down at Hickstead next week, so I will be on the showground. I think she's joining from Thursday onwards, so she might be traveling down.
Or
if you want to speak to her any other day, I'm sure she will be around.
Oh, cool. We'll have to do that. We'll have to see if we can understand anything she says.
Definitely check out the video. It's very cool. And she's got a really interesting backstory because she used to play international polo cross, and then she had a bad fall and broke her hip, and that was basically her polo cross career over. And so she discovered eventing, and now she keeps getting x-ray horses and training them to go eventing. So she's
you
really
know, a
cool.
More low-key sport. I mean,
yeah, that's right.
Taking it easy.
Exactly.
Now, I got to ask you on the technical side, you know, it just takes a ton of footage to make video. And then all of that editing, you said it took a couple of weeks to edit. It is a process, isn't it? Taking all that footage that you guys film and then editing it down to whatever length of the show is.
Yeah, it really is. And what I found amazing is that Lizzie Greenwood-Hughes, who's a very experienced TV presenter and producer, and she did all the filming, directing, and she worked on the edit. And she kept saying, you know, we're going to use every spare minute of footage. It's going to take a lot to fill this. And I thought it would be a case of how on earth do we cut this down? But it wasn't. It was really like, we need so much footage to get it right. And so that was a real eye-opener for me. She worked really hard on the edit, but I think she did a great job.
What else surprised you in the making of that? Because this was really your first one, you know, with a show from beginning to end like this. What else surprised you about the making of that?
I mean, it's the first reality show that Horse and Country has ever done. And I guess, you know, I was just surprised and delighted by how great people were that we picked, because all we had to go on was a 2-minute video audition. And we had to think of that as a basis of, are they going to make entertaining television for a 5-week series? And they were just all so great and so much fun. And they actually, like, I think they wanted them to be a little bit kind of, you know, antagonistic and competitive and wanting to better each other. But they ended up being really good mates. And after filming, they all got together and they did a parody of the Spice Girls' Wannabe, which I'll send you the link. It's very funny. So one of the All-Stars partners, a record producer, and he made this parody video changing the lyrics to Equestrian. So it's very amusing. So, yeah, no, they were great guys. And I guess just the amount of hanging around and how long everything took to film. Again, I kind of think you just go and film it as it happens. But obviously, there's just so much more to it than that. So, yeah, that's probably the biggest thing I learned.
You know what's going to happen? Victoria now is she's going to have all these other reality shows hit the big time and we'll never hear from her again. That's what's going to happen.
That would be nice. But no, you know, I do love getting involved in the programming side. I love working on shows. I got to spend 10 days with Carl Hester and Charlotte Dujardin and the run up to the Olympics. And that was just an unforgettable experience. But between these shows, which are quite few and far between, I'm then back to the website just writing and editing and doing social media and doing what I'm paid to do. So, yeah, I don't think I'm going to be headhunted anytime soon by HBO. I could do that.
Yeah, you could do that. You could have that'd be cool. All right. Well,
that's
then you're
going to,
whatever that series is on HBO, if you can incorporate a couple of radio people that do a morning show about horses, that'd be perfect, by the way.
Yeah, no problem. I will write it into
my good. Thank you,
prize winning script.
We know you're going to look after us. Horseandcountry.tv. Thank you so much. And I think you'll be off next week doing Hickstead, but we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks then.
Perfect. I will speak to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. Now, you with your Southern accent living in Texas, did you understand any of that, Mary?
Oh, totally. My parents lived in the UK for 5 years.
Ah, you got it. All right, you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
For sure.
Just checking.
Where's she from? Where's she from?
She was from Scotland originally, and now she lives in London. Yep. So that's why the accent's a little different than you would expect.
Right. My parents lived about an hour south of London in the Cotswolds, which is just amazing, gorgeous.
Oh, they have an accent there too.
Yes. I'm told
there.
that's quite a posh area, and very very pretty countryside.
Very cool. Well, she didn't offer to come over and make a reality show in Texas yet, so we'll see if we can.
You know, I have been. I got called by I thought it was fake, but I vetted it. It was legit. I got called by a lady who does reality casting, who was looking for ideas for a reality show. She wanted to interview me, and nothing ever came from it. I don't think I have a big enough reality TV personality. Because they really do. They do want to, you know, to make good TV, they do want some push and pull. And
yeah, they want over the top.
You know, have,
dramatic well, or yeah, not. And
I have friends who've done it, and they do kind of get like, you know, okay, you're competing against this person, and I want you to just say, oh, they don't have anything on me. And they're like, no, I'm not. That's my friend. That's my buddy. And it's funny because if you turn on any reality show that's like a competition, like Survivor or anything, anyone, I can guarantee you there will be someone who says, I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to win.
It's like, yep. That's right.
Come up with a new line.
That's true. Let's see what else we need to cover here today. Tomorrow will be the trail riding episode. And then Friday, we have a special Jared Rogerson musical episode for you. And then we'll be back to normal again next Monday. Thank you so much, Mary, for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
No problem. This was a good show. It was
fun.
Different,
bang, bang, bang.
Different side of the horse industry. I learned a lot just listening.
Well, you know, too, we're so used to doing your show where it's pretty much all training the whole time that I thought you'd have fun just mixing it up a little bit.
Well, and it's Western, and so you guys are going off on eventing, and I know that I should know some of these people. I didn't want to be like, who's that? You know,
yeah, the people she was talking about, the Scott Brashes and the Pippa Funnels and the William Fox Pitts, are all the superstars of the jumping and eventing world. And then the fact that
I know they were a big deal, so I didn't want to commit.
Well, you've heard of Charlotte Dejourdain, though, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And the fact that she got to spend 10 days at Charlotte's Barn, that had to be pretty cool.
I would be jealous of that.
Even a
for
Western
sure.
girl will be jealous of that.
Yeah. Oh, and I will be doing, I'm a Google maniac, so I will be Googling all of this, and I will be up to par. And yes, it was a good time. I enjoyed it.
Very good. Well, thank you, Mary. Where can people find you?
I'm at marykitzmiller.com or on Facebook at Mary Kitzmiller Horsemanship.
And you can find all of the past episodes of Horses in the Morning at horsesinthemorning.com. You can follow Horses in the Morning on Facebook, us and about 40,000 of our friends over there now. Just search for Horses in the Morning. All the stuff we talk about during the show, Jennifer is posting links to it. So if you get home from riding and go, I want to find that, where was that link? What was that product they were talking about? What heck was that speaker thing? Then you can just head over to Horses in the Morning and you'll find a link to that. That's the best way to do that. Or you can go to our show notes and you'll find links to the show notes as well at Horses in the Morning. For every episode, we put a link to everybody we talk to. And the best way to listen to the show is all 10 of them that we do on the Horse Radio Network is on the iPhone or Android. We have a couple of new shows. The Healthy Critters Radio Show was fairly new. And also the Rodeo Marketing Show. If you're into marketing of anything, then the Rodeo Marketing Show is the one to listen to. It pretty much covers anything marketing, and not just rodeo, but the lessons apply to it all. That's probably our only truly business show that we have.
I'm going to start listening.
Yeah, you should listen to that. Actually, yeah. They've had some very interesting people, and they also talk a lot there about how as a rider or clinician or a person to get sponsored by companies, and then they have the company reps who do the sponsoring on to tell you what they're looking for.
So, oh my goodness, why have I not been listening to this?
You really need to go back and listen to the beginning of that one, because they've had reps on from the biggest companies in the horse world, and they also go outside the horse world in like skiing and bike riding and those kind of things to find out what they're looking for and how it works over there too. So
very cool.
Yeah, it's a neat show, and that's really all it's about. It's about marketing in the horse world, but from the side of the marketers, the people giving out the sponsorships, as well as from those being sponsored. So it's from both sides. Really is interesting. And I've been enjoying it because I'm kind of, you know, I'm also in the world of marketing. So I have to pay attention to that as well. That's
when
it.
And a lot of that stuff is, oh, sorry.
That's yes. Okay. I was just going to say goodbye.
Okay. Go for it.
All right. Thank you, everybody. See you again tomorrow morning.